Nigeria Daily. My name is Lilian Ogazi. Kenya, just like Nigeria, share a similar history as they both were colonized by the British. Although separated by thousands of flying miles, both Nigeria and Kenya have battled insurgency and had their fair share of electoral irregularities and violence over the years. On August 9, 2022, Kenyans marched to the polls to elect their fifth president, a new parliament, and county officials. The election process holds every 5 years and is conducted by the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission in Kenya. What stood out in the Kenyan elections? It is 197 days to the presidential and national assembly election in Nigeria. Time is ticking. Preparations towards the elections have been put in place by INEC as the days draw nearer. But are there certain things Nigeria can learn from the just-concluded Kenyan elections? Jide Oju, a developmental consultant and a public affairs analyst, tells us.
Quite a number of things we can learn from the just-conducted Kenya election. First, there is certainty on the date of election in Kenya. Election in Kenya is already enshrined in the Constitution of Kenya that it will take place every second Tuesday every 5 years. That certainty is there. I think we can learn that. Unlike in our own clan, where INEC is the one that decides when elections should hold, and there is no particular date that is fixed. Those who are in prison are allowed to vote in Kenya. Then diaspora voting. People diaspora are also allowed to vote. The Kenyans who are residing in 12 countries across the world were allowed to vote. This includes US, Canada, Qatar, in Tanzania, in Uganda, in South Africa, in South Sudan, and a host of others. Those Kenyans who are residing in those countries, there were about 44,000 plus of them who voted in the August by-election. There were about 7,000 prisoners that voted. And these are something we can learn. Don't also forget that Kenya election takes place on a work day, supposedly work day, Tuesday, and the system is not shut down, unlike our own that we have condemned to happen on a Saturday. I think that is also something we can learn. But more importantly, is that there is provision for independent candidacy. So you don't need to run under any political platform. You can run as Lilian Ogazi, you can run as Jide Oju, independent of any political party. There's also issue of gender equity. Did you know that the Constitution of Kenya makes provision for affirmative action where 47 positions in the Kenyan House of Reps were reserved for women, and 16 positions in their Senate also reserved for women. And there are also one position reserved for youth in their House of Reps and one position reserved for person with disability. This makes room for political inclusion, because if you highlight all that I've said, particularly the issue of gender equity, the issue of independent candidacy, the issue of prisoners voting, the issue of out-of-country voting, this makes room for political inclusion. If Raila Odinga wins in this election, Kenya will also have voted the first female vice president, or what they call deputy president in Kenya. I mean, Nigeria is doing well in terms of age, in terms of inclusion. Mm-hmm. Imagine three out of the four presidential candidates chose women as their running mate. The electoral management body in Kenya, there are just seven of them, but two out of those seven are female. Then the most intriguing thing is that while the chairperson of the commission is the vice chairperson is a woman. Election in Kenya takes place for 12 hours.
Yes.
On the day of election, people vote for 12 hours from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Look, in Nigeria, our voting period is just 6 hours. 8:30 in the morning to end at 2:30 in the afternoon. So Kenya, if Kenya can hold the election for 12 hours, Egypt can host election for 12 hours. There's not a stop Nigeria for also increasing from 6 hours to 8 hours and gradually reach that 12-hour mark.
That was Jide Oju, a developmental consultant, speaking. You are listening to Nigeria Daily, coming to you from Daily Trust Online. We will be going on break. Do stay. You are welcome back. This is Nigeria Daily coming to you from Daily Trust Online. In this episode, we are looking at what Nigeria can learn and emulate from the just concluded Kenyan elections. Before we went on break, Jide Ojo, a developmental consultant and a columnist, pointed out several aspects of the Kenyan elections that can be emulated by INEC come 2023. One point that stood out for me was the fact that Kenyans in diaspora and prisoners are allowed to exercise their rights by voting only during the presidential elections. That is to say, the Independent Electoral and Boundaries Commission in Kenya made voting in diaspora and in prisons possible. What exactly is holding INEC back? Well, let's hear from INEC.
My name is Festus Okoye. I'm a national commissioner with the Independent National Electoral Commission, and I'm also in charge of information and voter education. In the Kenyan election, they had just slightly above 22 million registered voters.
Yes.
In Nigeria, for the 2023 election, we are projecting that over 95 million persons are going to vote in our own election. That is number one. The second is that the Independent National Electoral Commission is a creation of the law and also a creation of the Constitution. Whatever action we take, whatever processes and procedures that are available to us must be backed by law. As of today, if you look at Section 10, Subsection 2 of the Electoral Act, it provides that for you to be registered under the continuous voters registration process or under the normal registration process, that the applicant must appear in person at the registration venue. So the implication is that only those who are resident in Nigeria have the capacity to appear in person at the registration venue where elections will take place. Furthermore, if you also look at the law, in terms of voting and accreditation, Section 47, Subsection 1 of the Electoral Act provides that a person intending to vote in an election shall present himself with his voter's card to a presiding officer for accreditation at the polling unit in the constituency in which his name is registered. That is the law in Nigeria. And so early voting is one of the things that the country should consider. And when the law is amended, the commission may take that into consideration.
You spoke about registration, saying that the people who are eligible voters are meant to be in person for this registration to take place now. But in a country like Kenya now, they allow registration and even voting to happen in the country's embassy. Hence, these people can come in person. Why can't we have the same happen here?
That's exactly the point I'm making. Mm-hmm. Now, when registration takes place in embassies and when voting takes place in the implication is that those voting must be assigned to a specific polling unit.
Okay.
For instance, somebody is in the U.S. Embassy and the person is from Bama local, Bama, or the person from Olu local government. You have to wait until that vote comes in before you can sort out the votes and then announce a winner for the election. So I think that there are a few things we need to do in our law. And also we need a national conversation on the next level, which our electoral process should go to. For us to realize some of these issues.
So you're saying that INEC doesn't have the power to address the issue till the law is fixed?
Well, INEC cannot address some of those issues. We can only make projections.
Let's talk about the time frame for election to go on. Unlike other African countries, Kenya, Ghana, elections take place as long as 12 hours. Is it that INEC doesn't have the power to extend election for as long as 12 hours?
Our geography is different. Our trajectory is different. Our demography is different. There are some parts of the country where vehicles do not go to, where motorbikes do not go to, where we have to hire human carriers to take our presiding officers and equipment up the hill. So you need to close polling at a particular time and begin to sort out the votes and count the votes to enable you get to the registration areas, area collation center, or what we call electoral ward, before nightfall. Some of the countries you mentioned do not have the number of polling units we have in this country.
Okay, so now let's talk about election dates. In Kenya, one of the things that stood out that we observed now was the fact that their election has a specific date, so everybody knows the date to happen. But in Nigeria, we've even seen cases where the presidential election is being moved.
No, for instance, if you look at Section 178, Subsection 2 of the Constitution relating to election of a governor, It says an election to the office of a governor of a state shall be held on a date appointed by the Independent National Electoral Commission in accordance with the Electoral Act. Then Section 178, Subsection 2 says, an election to the office of a governor of a state shall be held on a date not earlier than 150 days and not later than 30 days before the expiration of the term of office of the last holder of the office. So our own is constitutionally and the legally circumscribed. It gives us a leeway to look at periods that are public holiday, to look at periods that fall on religious days.
Now, that is also in the constitution because a static date was given. And the one thing that stood out for me was the fact that their election takes place on Tuesday. That's a working day, meaning they don't have to cripple activities just for the elections to take place. Can we have that in Nigeria?
See, the issue, we can fix election on even a working day.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter. But the challenge here is that each country must also look at its own specific. One of the challenges we have is the challenge of electoral violence.
Political thuggery and violence also takes place in most of these countries I also mentioned.
No, the point I'm really making is that we also talk about the challenge of voter apathy, challenge of getting people to the polling unit. So if when we declare public holidays on ordinary days, on Saturdays, people hardly go to the polling unit. So when you ask people to go to work on a election day, on a working day, and then they can stroll to the polling unit, the implication is that unless we are very careful, a negligible number of people are going to be electing people in this country. I believe that we will get to that extent. But I think that we must stick to what works for us and let other countries also learn a few things from us.
That was Festus Okoye, Commissioner for Information and Voter Education of the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, speaking. What is the way forward? Are there certain aspects of Nigerians' electoral acts that can make the 2023 general election stand out? Let's get back to Jide Ojo in the studio.
There are several countries that allow for out-of-country voting, including Niger Republic, which is our neighbor here. The point is, the diaspora will only vote for presidential election. And then the registration for diaspora who want to vote takes place at our embassies and consulate of Kenya. So they don't have to travel down to Nairobi or to Kenya to come and register. So it's not a rocket science. Mm. If INEC really wants to do it, can be done. All that is needed is a constitutional amendment, and then there you go. And don't forget, we have also advocated that there should be provision for early voting. In early voting, people who will be on election duty can also participate. This is still not allowed by our electoral law. And the similarity is that we are the electoral law has fully given legal backing to INEC to deploy technology along the value chain. So for voter registration, there's biometric voter registration. For accreditation and authentication, there's VIVAS or Smart Calendar or any other technology. The law has agreed that INEC can also do electronic balloting. And then there's electronic transmission of results. That is commendable. That came into being with the signing of the law of the Electoral Act 2022.
So on the way forward now, are there things in the Electoral Act that would give us an edge over how Kenya conducted their elections and that would give us an edge in this election that would help us and make it better than previous elections that have taken place?
Well, I don't know what it will be, but suffice to say that one beautiful thing we have in our own, but which has been observed in Beach, is that there's financing. In Kenya, there is no campaign financing, so you can spend all the money in Central Bank of Kenya. So that, I think, is what Kenya needs to learn. But on the whole, I think for Nigeria, I will advocate more of attitudinal change than any other legal reform. On the part of all the value chain, the electorate must show vote buying. The politicians should stop giving money to people to vote for them. INEC must be up and doing and not compromise. The legal reforms that we have right now is actually sufficient to guarantee credible, peaceful, inclusive, and better 2023 elections.
That was Jide Ojo, a developmental consultant, a public affairs analyst, and a columnist speaking. As 2023 elections draw near, we wait and watch. God bless Nigeria. And that wraps up the show for today. Thank you so much for listening. To everyone whose voices we heard on the show, we say a big thank you. Nigeria Daily is a Daily Trust production, and you can download this and other episodes of our podcast on dailytrust.com, buzzsprout.com, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio by simply searching for Nigeria Daily. You can also listen in on NAS FM 89.9 in Yola, Unity FM 93.3 in Jos, and Badegi Radio 90.1 in Mina. If you intend to sponsor an episode of Nigeria Daily, call us or send us a message via WhatsApp on 0913 89 0793-3390. Or you could reach us via our social media handles on Instagram and Twitter at @daily_trust and on Facebook at Daily Trust. My name is Lilian Ogazi. Thank you for listening and bye for now.